When I started off in Knutford, I was told by Chris, he said this, "Dave, remember the things that happen to you in your life daily." By that I mean things that you hear, things that you come across in the newspaper, because one day they will come in handy for not only talks but sermons as illustrations. And today is that day, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a great one. Hold on to this one as well, because it'll be running through the whole sermon. I'm from Kenya. I'm a native of Kenya. We moved here in 2003. And between that time, we've been back and forth, I think, two times to Kenya. This one particular time, I'd say up to 6 or 7 years ago. Went back to Kenya. I was a little boy, and we flew into Ethiopia. Now, I've never been there before, but it's just our neighboring country. And we were going to get the next flight into Kenya the next morning. But at that time, we needed a hotel to stay. And so there was this coach dropping every single person at their destination, their hotel. So our turn came, and indeed, my whole family left. Every single one of them, can you believe this? And they left me on the bus. They left me on the bus. Well, here's the reason why they did that, okay? On this subject of rest that we'll be looking at today, I love physical rest. Sleep is my favorite thing. So, you know, there's like Jesus, my mum, food, and then sleep. Or you can switch those around, really. It depends on how I'm feeling. I love rest. I love sleeping. So I was asleep on this bus anyway, completely fast asleep. Again, like I said, I was just a little boy, so I wasn't really aware of everything that was going on. And what happened was, so they all got off and the bus took off with me in it still asleep. About 20 minutes later, I woke up completely bewildered. New country, I've never been here, I don't know anyone, and I'm looking outside thinking, what is going on? Am I dreaming? But no, I'm not. I slapped myself a couple of times, but I wasn't dreaming. And so I ran to the driver and I said, "Look, where am I?" And he said, "Do you want a bus?" He didn't speak much English, but he could understand what I was saying. But it turned out that my family left. Every single person on the bus was off it. And this feeling of complete powerlessness, hopelessness, just came over me. And on that bus, I could never have put my head down to sleep again and felt safe or felt at peace or even thought that everything was going to be okay. That's my example of being powerless. And like I said, every single person in here, they'll come, or you have come to that time in your life where you feel completely, completely powerless. Example for you, I don't know. That was my example, a time I felt powerless. Yours could be financial worries, times you just feel there's nothing you can do in your own power. Health problems. It could be relationships breaking down. And a big one for me, and I'm sure for you as well, the church in our society, and especially when I look at it from my angle as a youth ministry trainee, I fear for the young people in our church even today. Because in school, it's hard to be a Christian. And when they go to university, it's even harder. But in the workplace, it's even harder. And it looks like it'll only continue to get harder with all the persecution and everything that's coming. And so I'm absolutely terrified and worried for them. And I feel at times in my job that I have to be their Jesus. I feel like I want to just empower them in any way I can. But again, I'm completely powerless and I have to look up to someone else to do that. Because like I said, I'm scared of them. And I want them to have a bright future as Christians as they grow up. But it's looking really bleak, and that really terrifies me. And in that case, I'm sure for you as well, I feel completely powerless. There's nothing I can do. So those are just a few examples of powerlessness, and we see that in David's case as well. He's getting chased around, and he's completely powerless. And his own power could not bring him rest and security. And that's the first thing we'll see from this psalm. The second thing is this one, other people. Other people do not bring us rest. And that's in verse 9. Verse 9 says this. "Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath." In Scripture, we always get this picture of mankind being like a breath. Or being like the grass of the field. It's there 1 second and then it's gone like that. And David is telling us here, look, do not find your security and rest in men. They can offer nothing. Now, going back to that example of me being stuck in Ethiopia, I told you this would come in handy. Again, at that time, even though the bus driver was there for me, he did look after me, I did not feel safe with him. I didn't feel like I could trust him with my life. I didn't trust him to rescue me. There was only one person who I fully trusted at that time. Only one person who had I had my every single bit of hope in. And that was my mum. Because until I was in my mum's arms, I did not feel safe. Not with anyone else. Not with that bus driver, especially. And in my own power again, I could do absolutely nothing. So in verse 9, David is telling us, look, do not trust in men. And again, come to that practical bit in this, an application in this little bit. I don't know who you're trying or finding rest in. That could be, I guess, your doctor. It could be your boss. It could be your friend or even your family. And even as much as I love my mum, we could be trying to find rest in our mums. But David is telling us, look, do not find rest in other human beings. They will offer you nothing. In that illustration, I was a lost, completely powerless little boy. And in the same way as that bus driver could offer me no hope, no rest, no security, so as these people I've just mentioned, our doctors, our bosses, in that illustration, they cannot offer us any kind of rest or security at all. They're completely powerless. And so that's our second point. Do not find security and rest in other people. And then swiftly move on to the third point, money. Money, this is our third point. Do not find rest and security in money. We won't spend much time on this one. Money is a big issue, but it's a simple one as well. So we won't spend a lot of time on it. An example, I'm sure you've heard of Adrian and Gillian Bayford, who in the last couple of weeks were revealed as the £148 million Euro Millions winners. Did you hear about them? Yeah. And you know, already I've heard they've splashed out on a mansion. I don't know what that means again. And they've splashed out on a £50,000 brand new dream car, as they called it. And I assume these people are going to take the usual pattern every other rich person or every lottery winner does. They win all this money. They want a lot of stuff to buy, and indeed they do buy it. But eventually it comes to now what? We've got £148 million in the bank. We've bought everything. Now what? What do we do? And I want to ask this question as a young man who's not had a lot of life experience, and indeed in the next week or so I'll be thrown right into the deep of it. I want to ask you this question to the folk who are much wiser than me. Can you honestly tell me that in your years, in your time, the time you were most happy is when you had lots of money? Can you really tell me that? Or can you reassure me by coming to me at the end and saying, look, Dave, life is all about money. Life is all about making as much money as possible, and the more you have, the more rest and security you have. Can you tell me that honestly? And just before we finish this section on money, I'm pretty sure, I'm very certain, that nobody in this room is making money, neither by stealing nor extortion. But the main point is this. We cannot find rest and security in money. So just to recap those three things that we saw, you cannot find security in your own power or in yourself. You cannot find rest in other people. And you can't find rest in money. And those are the three things that certainly did not bring David rest in this psalm. And then we move on to three characters of God, which did bring David great rest. And now I'm getting excited. I like this bit. Okay. So let's look at the second bit of this psalm. The first thing that we'll see is this, that God is our rescuer. God is our rescuer. In verses 3 and 4, as we saw before, that rhymed. In verses 3 and 4, as we saw before. Good. David needed real rescuing. He needed real rescuing from his enemies, from his son Absalom, who was chasing him down to take his life. And many a time we saw, indeed in Scripture, that God was always there for David. As we also stated before, we might not be getting chased around by someone or an enemy who wants to take our life, but we need rescuing ourselves even today. And we need rescuing from an enemy who not only seeks to destroy our bodies, but also our souls. And this enemy is sin. Sin is our greatest enemy. David calls God his salvation three times, and you can see this in verses. So if you just have a glance at your Bibles, verses 1, 2, and 6. So verses 1b, you get David saying these words, "My salvation comes from him. My salvation comes from God." In verse 2, again, "He alone is my rock and my salvation." And verses 6, he echoes those words again, "He alone is my rock and my salvation." And David is saying this, our souls can only find rest when we have accepted the salvation that God alone offers. Again, going back to that example of me being stuck in Ethiopia, I'm sure you'd like to find out how it ended. The driver was gracious and God was good, and I did end up getting back to the hotel where my mum was. And like I said before, until I was in her arms, I did not feel safe, nor find security in anyone else or anything else. Now, for the sake of this illustration, I say this, but I'm not at all saying that my mum is God or Jesus. Forgive me, I'm not saying that at all. But we can only find rest. I could only find rest in my mum alone, and in the same way, our souls can only find rest in God alone. As we saw before, I was powerless. That driver could do nothing, and on the point of money, I had none anyway. And in the same way, we need to do the same here. This is what David is telling us. Our souls need to find rest in God alone, through the salvation that he offers, through Jesus and Jesus alone again. And the best thing about that is this. Once you know that you're saved, once you are saved, your soul is secure with Jesus, and that's forever. And no matter what is thrown at you in this life, it won't affect that real security and peace that you have in Jesus, not only in this life, but in eternity waiting for you. So I want to ask you this question this morning. I want to ask you this. Who or what is your rescuer? Is it Jesus? Well, because if it's not, then you cannot have real rest and security, and not only in this life, but as we said before, in the afterlife as well, in eternity. You cannot have rest and security. But the great thing is this, that Jesus came from heaven to earth. He died on a cross, and he rose again from the dead, so that if you accept it, you can have him as your rest and security. Again, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And I find great comfort in those words and knowing that. As we read from Matthew before, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And just fast forwarding to verse 29, where he says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus alone is the one who can offer us rest for our souls. So that's the first thing that brought David great rest. God is our rescuer. Second thing, God is strong. God is strong. David uses words such as fortress in verses 2 and 6, and words such as rock in 2, 6 and 7, and refuge in 7 and 8, to describe to his listeners and indeed his readers, us today, how God is totally reliable and how fully we can depend on him and him alone. And of course, this is in comparison to David in verses 3 and 4, where he uses images such as leaning walls and tottering fences. And in verse 4, where he says, They fully intend to topple him. His enemies intend to topple him over. And as I was preparing this sermon, that parable of the two builders, the teachers that Jesus teaches, the foolish builder and the wise builder. And I'm sure you know the story, so I want to get straight to the point. I want to ask you this. Who are you like in the parable? Who are you like in the parable? In this psalm, we know who David is, and we know who he's asking us to be like. So what sort of foundation are you going to rest on? What sort of foundation are you going to build on? Is it going to be like the foolish man who builds on the sand made up of the things of this world and the riches of this world? Or are you going to be like the wise man who builds on God's foundation? On a God who is our refuge. On a God who is strong. On a God who's our fortress. On a God whose promises are absolutely rock solid and unshakable. Who are you going to build on? That's our second point there. And then finally, our third point, God is loving. God is loving. Again, I love these words in verses 11 and 12. If you can just glance at them with me. Verses 11 and 12. Say this. One thing God has spoken, and two things have I heard. That you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. What great words. Now, I don't know if anyone remembers an advert that was on telly. Excuse me. That was on telly a while ago. And when I say a while ago, I mean like 2 years or something. So this is quite back. So you'll have to rewind. But this advert was basically advertising Bupa Care or something like that. I'm not really sure. I can't remember. But it was a good advert, so I remember it very well. But it was making this point. The word or, O-R, is not a very nice word. Or. So, you know, you can either have water or juice. You can go to a restaurant and you can have, you know, food or drink. I don't know what kind of restaurant does that, but just for the sake of the example. And on, you know, for dessert, you can either have, on your ice cream, you can either have chocolate sauce or sprinkles. Okay. But they went on to say this, that the word and is a much better word. The word and is a much better word. And we like the word and because if you walk into a restaurant, you can have a starter and a main. Not just a starter or a main, starter and a main. Get on that. Okay. For your main, you can have a chicken salad and, you know, something else. There we go. You can make up your own. And for your dessert, this is my favorite bit. For your dessert, you can either have chocolate sauce and sprinkles. Okay. Now, I don't even like chocolate sauce, so I'd rather opt for the strawberry sauce, but that's another story for another day, I'm sure. And you can carry on making up your own. And, you know, they were making this point that you're probably sitting there thinking, what is he talking about? Restaurants, food, and all. But I've got a great point. There we go. The point is that God is not only strong, he's both strong and loving. And why do I say that? It's because if God were only strong, how do we know that he's loving? Now, as we know, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners and God hates sin. Now, how do we know, how would we know he's loving? Because if God were only strong, he would choose to just completely destroy and obliterate us because he hates sin. And that would be a God who is strong. And on the other hand, if God were only loving, how do we know that he is strong? How do we know that he can take us from this life, as he promises in his word, into the next? But the Bible tells us these two great truths. Not only is God loving, but he is strong as well. And I take great comfort in those words, and I hope you do as well. And that's where I was going with the TV advert, basically. So, you know, God is strong and loving. As I've taken a lot of comfort in Psalm 62 with all my worries and everything in the last couple of weeks, I hope you do as well. And again, these words in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29, which say this, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So again, just to recap everything that we've looked over, Psalm 62 this morning. Three things that did not bring David rest at all. First one being his own power. Second, other people. And third, money could not bring him rest and security. But three things in God, three great things in God which are the only things which can bring any of us and David great security and rest. God is our rescuer. God is strong. And God is loving. Let's pray. And I'll be using the words of Psalm 62, verses 5-8 as our prayer. And I'll pray this for us. I'll pray this for us. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope, our hope, comes from him. He alone is our rock and our salvation. He is our fortress. We will not be shaken. Our salvation and our honour depend on God. He is our mighty rock, our refuge. And this is my prayer for every single person in this room this morning. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. Amen.